Good morning, everybody, and Carolyn sneaks in just on time. How you doing, Carolyn? Good to see you, mate. Bit of revision today, and I've been instructed to talk slowly. All right, slow it is. Now, we begin with some revision. Revision. And we're going to quote Philippians 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in full knowledge and in all perception. Paul's praying for the Philippians, those that were with him from the beginning, his longed for, his joy and crown. But this prayer has two parts, and I have to post verse 10. That, or this word heine in the Greek, in order that. You see, he didn't just pray that their love might abound yet more and more in full knowledge and in all perception. He wanted their knowledge and perception to abound, verse 10, in order that they may distinguish between things that differ. You know, when we come up through our denominational systems, you can name yours and I can name mine. I don't care who they are. There's a gross tendency to smosh things together. But God says, oh no. When we come to the Word of God, there are things in the Bible which are different. And this is Paul's prayer. Love abounding, knowledge perception, in order that we can distinguish between things that differ. Now, what if we don't? Now, we've already read Ephesians chapter 1, 3 to 6. We've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. But if we don't distinguish between things that differ, look at the consequences. We may be insincere. Because Paul says, I want you to distinguish in order that you might be sincere. If we don't distinguish things that are different in the Bible, then we may be insincere. Study the word sincere. It means without impurity. And without offense. Well, if we don't distinguish the things that differ, despite the fact that we've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, we may be offensive. Now, the day of Jesus Christ, in verse 10, relates to judgment. We're all going to be judged. We're not going to be judged for sin and sins. We're God's heirs in heavenly places, praise God. He's done that. That's the adoption we have received. Now, I want to have as less shame as possible in that day, don't you? I know you do. Now, 2 Timothy is really, by all accounts, the last letter that Paul wrote. He was about to be offered and he was looking for that crown of righteousness. And what does he say to Timothy? Now, Timothy's a believer. Timothy's been with Paul from somewhere in the middle of Acts, remember? And here he is writing way past the Acts period. And what does he tell him? He doesn't tell him to cling to the cross and to keep singing about the shed blood. No, he says, be diligent, 2 Timothy 2:15, study earnestly to present yourself approved. You and I want to be approved. We want, now, notice the word workman in this verse does not mean a theological multi-graduate. Now, does it? No disrespect for theology and theology schools. But we can understand the scriptures. God works with the Word and the Holy Spirit in our prayers and our studies. All he wants us to be is a work person. There I am. A work person. To be new to gender today, since the boys are now outnumbered by the girls in the room, who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is not an option. not an option. If I want to be unashamed, then I'd better know what right division is, friends, or I've got a problem. If I want to be sincere in the day of Christ, and until the day of Christ, and including the day of Christ and the judgment thereof, I'd better know what right division is. I'd better distinguish between things that are different. And today, I want to share with you a passage that we looked at this week, and we're going to go back there, and we're going to see some things that are different. Now, at the same time, we're going to see some things that are fundamental. What do I mean by fundamental? Well, if I said fundamentalist, you might think of a particular denomination, that I'm basically evangelical and fundamental. But when we use the word fundamental, we mean something that is timeless, something that applies and is truth for all of God's purposes, and if you would like the word, dispensations. For example, God is love is a fundamental truth. Those that wish to serve God must believe that he is a fundamental truth, pardon me. You see, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That is a fundamental truth. You see, in every calling, those we must believe into him, we must seek him, and he is a rewarder of those who so do. Do you want to seek God today and know? Do you want to know? I do. And here I am, an older guy, with 30 years of Bible study under my belt, and I'm here, I believe, to help you in that endeavor. But don't believe me, will you? I'm just a facilitator, someone to help you. Now I'm going to go back to the Old Testament. And with these principles in mind, with these principles of distinguishing things that differ, with these principles of rightly dividing the word, we're going to read a passage. And I'm going to compare it with Ephesians and maybe a bit of Colossians. Now says Isaiah 43 verse 1. I don't know how far we're going to get with this, but hey, we're going to have some great times together, aren't we? In the Word of God. What a good way to start the day. Isaiah 43:1. But now, so says Jehovah, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Oh, God created this nation. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. Oh, Israel has been redeemed, as well as you and I today. Isn't that wonderful? But of course, Israel and Jacob are not the church which is his body. I've got to try and get Ephesians open here, so I should have left that open. And you'll find the church which is his body in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. See, Christ is the head of the church which is his body. These are two separate, distinct, called out companies. By the way, isn't it interesting that when Moses was sent to Pharaoh, God told Moses to tell Pharaoh to let his firstborn go. So Israel and Jacob have an adoption. They are God's firstborn, just like you and me. But do you see the difference? They are God's firstborn on the earth. They have blessings on the earth. Now, where did we find our blessings when we read Ephesians chapter 1? Ah, well, they're in heavenly places, aren't they? Now, do you see we're distinguishing things that are different, aren't we? Do you see? And we're not going to go in and try and be spiritual Israel. Oh, no. Because we want to be sincere and without offence. So we read the Bible, we study, and we see, aha, there's Israel. Look at that. They are God's firstborn on the earth. And look, God says in that verse, you are mine. You are mine. Do you see? Well, we are his too. Well, how can God have two sons? How can God have... Well, come on, people. He's got families on the earth and families in the heavenly places, hasn't he? In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15, the Apostle Paul says, of whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. It's not the whole family, if you read that verse carefully. It's every family. Oh, he's got a family on the earth, and he's got a family for heavenly places. And what one do you belong to? Well, this is not a lucky dip. You know what a lucky dip is? When we were at school, we had lucky dips. Did you have them in America? You people probably were far more sophisticated than us Australians. The kids would come up to a well. You'd have a lucky dip? Oh, come on. And there would be this well, okay, with a little roof over it. And never heard of it? Oh, you've been deprived as children. Well, you would walk up and pay your 5 cents or whatever it was, and you would pick up your fishing rod and you would lower the hook, you know, one big colourful hook, and you would lower it into the fishing well. And then there would be a yank on the line, and you would wind up the fishing reel, and lo and behold, there'd be a bag of lollies. And of course, I have to interpret that for Americans too, a bag of candy on the end of it, right? You're learning so much today about all things, aren't you? And you would run away and have a great time nobbling away on your candy because you'd been to a lucky dip. You had no idea what you were going to click, click, catch at the lucky dip. And the Bible is not a lucky dip, is it, Mark? We just can't go to the Bible with a pair of golden tongs and say, oh, here's a verse of Scripture. This must be about me because I'm God's child. Now, today, we have learnt that we are not God's child. We're God's heirs. We're God's sons. And the adoption relates to a place. It relates to things that are unique, despite the fact that to both callings, do you see, there are things that are common. And as we have seen in Isaiah 43, God has redeemed Israel, but he's redeemed us as well, hasn't he? He's called them by name. They are his, so are we. That doesn't make us the same, does it? In verse 3 of Isaiah 43, we skip verse 2, which says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Well, don't try doing that today because that relates to Israel. I am Jehovah your God, the Holy One of Israel. Jehovah, of course, a name that relates to God in covenant relationship with Israel. Do you see that? In covenant relation with Israel. Do you know there are people today that want to know why we aren't calling him Yahweh and why aren't we dressing up like Jews and going to churches that look like synagogues? Well, what did we notice in Ephesians? What did we notice in Ephesians? Remember, I promised you in the preliminary that I would show you something different. Now I'm going to go to our calling today, revealed after Israel will put aside at Acts 28. And who is he here? Ah, subtle difference, isn't it? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, did you know that back in the Acts period, it was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? A subtle little difference, but you see, we are to test the things that are different, aren't we? Oh, yes. And what did God do back in Isaiah 43, verse 3, for the nation of Israel? I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for you. Oh, these are other nations on the earth. But our blessings aren't on the earth, are they? You see? Now, I need to know about God's purposes for Israel, but I also need to know about his purposes for me today, and I must not confuse them. What did Philippians 1, 9 and 10 say? Test things differing. What did 2 Timothy 2 say? Rightly divide. And rightly divide means to correctly cut. Oh dear, oh dear. Oh, watch out for those right dividers. They cut up the Bible. We don't cut up the Bible to throw any of it away. We divide the scriptures because God has made things different. And he tells us to observe them. And if my God tells me to rightly divide his word, and I want to be an obedient son, heir of God, then I need to rightly divide it, don't I? I gave Egypt and Ethiopia and other nations. Look at verse 4 of Isaiah 43. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore I will give men for you and people for your life. You know, let's go back to Ephesians. Surely we're precious, aren't we? Oh, absolutely. But this, just because we're precious in God's sight, and just because we've been honored, and just because we've been loved, doesn't mean that we have replaced Israel, now does it? If I went back to Ephesians, I would think, if being honored, we could think of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. We are to the praise of the glory of his grace, in which he has accepted us. Really, the word is highly favored. Don't you love it? When you can get another version which brings out... The word for accepted in Ephesians 1, 6 is a compound of the word grace. He has bestowed favor upon us. And in fact, the word is unique. It only occurs in one other place in the New Testament, this word accepted or bestowed favor. When Mary, the mother of the Lord, was greeted by the angel, she said, "Hail thou, highly favored." Oh, Mary was the mother of the Lord. She was highly favored. And that one word used of Mary is now used of us today in the church, which is his body, and we have been what? Highly favored in Christ, because we're the heirs in heavenly places. Men and people have not been given for our life. You might find a further study in Colossians chapter 2 that Christ in the heavenly places stripped principalities and powers, not men and people. Ooh, isn't it exciting when we see the things that are different? Anyway, there are other verses that will come to your mind, but we're going to go back to Isaiah. Oops, I changed translation and there was no Isaiah 43. Here it is. Fear not, says the Lord in Isaiah 43 verse 5. Who's he speaking to? Oh, well, we all already know from Isaiah 43 that he's speaking to Israel and Jacob, isn't he? So if God says, fear not, for I am with you, you and I are not going to actually embrace this verse just because God says he's going to be with you. Who is the you? You see the problem in Isaiah 43 verse 5? Fear not, for I am with you. Now, I could frame that verse and I could put it on the bathroom wall. You see? But guess what? He's with you and me today. That's a fundamental truth, isn't it? God is with me by the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that. But he isn't going to bring my seed from the east and gather my people from the west. Now is he? Do you see what testing things that differ does? It might mean that we actually have to divide a fundamental truth from a dispensational truth. God is with me. I can say that. But when he says he's going to bring your seed, he's not talking about you and me, is he? This whole chapter is about Israel. This whole book is about Israel. Now, I've got some homework for you. Now, I know you're all listening carefully, and I think I'm still talking slowly, so that's important. But I've got some homework for you. Do you like homework? No, you know, no, don't like homework? I'm going to give you some homework. I want everyone in this room to sit down. Bring it on. Ah, Marky. But Mark's done this homework because he's an old X-28er, this guy. He's done this handwork. I want you to read Isaiah 53. Now, Arimathea, I'm so glad to see you in the room. Mark, Carolyn, Joe, BJ, Julie. And I want you to read Isaiah 53. And what I would like you to do, as you read this verse, this chapter, I would like you to read it not as a Christian today. I want you to play a game with me. I want you to imagine that you are an Israelite and Christ has just returned. Christ has just returned to the nation of Israel. And I want you to imagine that you're a Jew who has just recognized who Christ is. And I want you to read Isaiah 53 as a Jew who finally realizes what happened to Christ back in the Gospels. Isaiah 53 is a prophecy about Israel. Now, it's a lovely chapter, but it is not about you and me today. It's about Israel. So go do that. That's your homework. Don't do it now. Stop opening your Bibles to Isaiah 53. I heard the pages shuffling even in this Pal Talk room. It's for you to read later. Remember, don't read it as a Christian today. Read it as a Jew who's looking on the one that they pierced. Where do we get to? Verse 3. Verse 5. Now, here's verse 7. Now, here's Isaiah 43. Back we come, back to the lesson. How long are we going here? Oh, we're doing okay, aren't we? Everyone who is called by my name, says the Lord in Isaiah 43, verse 7, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Oh, excuse me, I'm going to jump over to Ephesians again. Here I go. Over to Ephesians. And here's a creation that doesn't have any Jews in it at all. Oh, test things that are different, right? Here's a creation. This is about Jews and Gentiles. And you'll see the word making in this verse. Well, it's the word created, trust me on that. Ephesians 2:13. But now, after Israel were put aside, after the book of Acts, you who were once afar off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. This is not peace between you and God. See? Verse 14. He is our peace. He making us both one. Us who? The Jews and the Gentiles are now one. Back in Isaiah 43, let me tell you, the Jews and Gentiles weren't one. For he has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Do you know what the middle wall of partition is? That's a wall in Israel's temple. And it prevented the Gentiles from entering further into Israel's temple. That middle wall was a sign of the dispensational difference between Jews and Gentiles. But after Acts 28, it's been broken down. Of course, in Acts 21, it wasn't. Now, was it? But that's another thing. But all I wanted to show you is that there is a creation in Ephesians as well. And it's a creation of the one new man, Ephesians 2:15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. Oh, on the cross, by the blood, this has nothing to do with the forgiveness of your sin. Most Christians who sing Redeemed by the Blood are not quite clear that the blood and the cross was also effective in creating the one new man, which didn't start at the cross but was revealed after the Acts period. Isn't the Bible amazing? Isn't it exciting when we test things that are different? Isn't it exciting when we rightly divide it? Ah, here's a creation, one new mankind making peace between Jew and Gentile. Well, back in Isaiah 43, I thought God said that he'd given Egypt, Ethiopia and Seba for Israel. They were basically the instruments in God's great redemptive purpose for Israel. I don't think giving those Gentiles up for Israel was the one new man of Ephesians 2, do you? You know, I'm praying today, whilst this is revision, that you are seeing things that are different in the Bible. And you say, oh, but this is easy. You're just picking the Old Testament and now you're in the New. Well, slowly but surely, we will discover that not all of the New Testament is about us either, that most of it's about Israel. You know, I came up through a church, oh, there I am using the word loosely. I came up through a denomination which told me that the church started at Pentecost. Isn't that interesting? Do you know what Pentecost was called before ever it was called Pentecost? Do you know its original name when God gave it to Israel? It's called the Feast of Weeks. That's what it's called. Feast of Weeks. Oh, Mark, you go have another cup of coffee, Mark. You slurp that coffee there, brother. Feast of Weeks. Now, Mark was ahead of the lesson because he actually anticipated Jubilee, because Pentecost was the 50th day. And that's how it be called Pentecost. Jubilee is the 50th year. So, in fact, Pentecost anticipated Jubilee, yes. Now, I can't get sidetracked here into Israel's feasts, but you see what I'm saying? The Christian community, God bless each and every one of them, and I do not say that in any sense of condescension. But I was taught that Pentecost was the birthday of the church. How can a feast that God gave to Israel in Leviticus 23, which was acted out at Mount Sinai when supernatural gifts were given to Israel, you know that, how can that be the birthday of the church? And I tell you what, friends, it's impossible. Pentecost wasn't even the first feast. It was in the middle. Well, the last of the spring feasts. And on Pentecost, Peter, a Jew, spoke to Jews. There weren't any Gentiles there anyway. So there was no fusion of Jew and Gentile into the one new man of Ephesians 2 at Acts chapter 2. Anyway, I got sidetracked and I shouldn't have done that. But all I wanted to say was, there's much of the New Testament that is not about us. It's for us. It's important. we have to be careful. Back to Isaiah 43. What verse did I get up to? I knew I shouldn't have done that. verse 7. So let's repeat it. I have created him for my glory. This is going back to Isaiah now, where God is talking about Israel. Created for his glory. What did we see in Ephesians chapter 2? The creation of the one new man. And do you think that's it's wonderful that we are the blessed recipients and participants of that creation? But do you know that in this called out company, which is called the church, which is his body, that there's going to be glory in the heavenly places for God as well? Oh, I see. God is going to receive glory through Israel on the earth. Oh, I see. But God is also going to receive glory in the church, which is his body, in the heavenly places. Ah, fundamental and dispensational truth in Isaiah 43 verse 7 and Ephesians 3:20 and 21. God is going to have glory on the earth through that nation, and he's going to get glory through our called out company in the heavenly places. Wow, praise God for that. Isn't it wonderful to know that in every sphere Christ will have preeminence? And of course you know that Christ is in fact Jehovah of the Old Testament, don't you? So there he is, having glory on the earth, glory in the heavenly places, and all praise to God who will bring these things about, no matter how faithfully we walk. Israel were, in Isaiah 43, weren't doing too well spiritually, my friends. They were just a little bit out of whack. They weren't faithful, if you read the bottom of Isaiah 43. But what has God said? It's got nothing to do with Israel's faithfulness, because they nationally have been redeemed. Now, I'm not a universalist, and I'm not preaching universalism. I'm telling you, those that are called are saved and redeemed. And God, and Israel as a nation will stand one day to the praise of God's glory, not to the praise of Israel's glory. They didn't do anything. And it might help you, those who want to have an interesting little read of the Acts period, you might like to read Romans chapter 9, verse 3, verses 1 through 4, and then go and look at chapter 9 through 11, where Paul talks about Israel, election, and all Israel are going to be saved when the Deliverer comes out of Zion. And when he comes out of Zion, that's when Isaiah 53 is going to be fulfilled for that nation. Oh, he was wounded for our transgressions. Oh, we thought him stricken and smitten of God, says the Jews, not the church which is his body today. Because we know it, don't we? So we're moving along. You are my witnesses, says Jehovah. And he's talking in Isaiah 43 verse 10 to the nation of Israel, isn't he? We're not going to go too long today. I think we're winding down in time, aren't we? You are my witnesses, says Jehovah to Israel, my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be after me. You're my witnesses. You're there to testify of me. I am Jehovah, and there is none to save besides me. None to save. There is no other name under heaven given among men, says Peter to the Jews. I think Peter must have known Isaiah 43, verse 11, don't you? You'll read about and hear about apostolic mistakes. the apostles said in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, will you restore again the kingdom to Israel? And well-meaning Bible teachers will tell you that they just didn't understand that the church was about to start. They'd had 40 days teaching by Christ. I think they knew what they were talking about. don't you? And in Luke 24:45, he opened their understanding to understand the scriptures. I think they knew what they were talking about. If anyone's wrong, friend, I think it might be the Christian community today who says there were apostolic mistakes. When we rightly divide, there are no apostolic mistakes. We know that the Acts period wasn't the beginning of anything. It was the end of the ages. But at the end of the book of Acts, Israel was put aside. And Paul was given the truth for today, 2009. A great dispensation of the grace of God, the mystery, which up until it was given to Paul, read Ephesians chapter 3, was hidden in God and unsearchable. Well, if it's hidden in God, how can we find it in the Old Testament? Anyway, I got sidetracked again. Isaiah 43 verse 10, "You are my witnesses, says the Lord to Israel." Here it comes again, I'll just put it in. What about the church which is his body? See, here's a fundamental truth. Remember in Isaiah 43, God said that he loved Israel? Well, here's a fundamental truth. He loved us, didn't he? Look. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us. Oh, he loved me as well. Praise God. But I tell you what, what's about to be written was never written in Isaiah, let me tell you that. Don't try and find Ephesians chapter 2, 4 to 7 anywhere else prior to Acts 28. You won't find it. Even when we were dead in sins, he's made us alive together with Christ. Well, you will find that before Acts 28, but this is part of a great exposition here. And has raised us up together and made us sit together. Where are we seated, by the way? Oh, I see. We've been seated together in the heavenlies in Christ. Oh, now I'm beginning to understand about these blessings that are all spiritual in chapter 1, verse 3. Remember where we started? I see. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. And in chapter 2, Paul says, we've been loved. God, who is rich in mercy, we've been raised together and made to sit together in the heavenlies. That's where our blessings are. Oh, that's where our inheritance is. That's where our adoption applies. That's where our sonship relates to. But what about witnesses? See, in Isaiah 43, Israel were witnesses, weren't they? Oh, well, I better finish Ephesians chapter 2 again. See, we've been raised together and seated together in the heavenlies. This isn't Israel, is it? This isn't the nation that was created for God's glory. This is the one new man of Ephesians 2 that was created for his glory. The church which is his body. So that the ages to come. Why did he do it? Why have we been raised and seated together in the heavenlies? Oh, well, so that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace we are saved through faith. By grace we have been quickened with Christ. By grace we have been raised and seated together in the heavenlies through Christ. That in the ages to come, verse 7, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus our Lord. And this salvation, to be raised and seated, is the gift of God. You never worked for it, neither did I. Praise God for his grace. Praise God for his purposes for the earth. Praise God for his purposes for heavenly places. What one do you belong to? Praise God, it's heavenly places. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for the joy of right division. We thank you for the joy of testing things that are different. May this lesson today be a blessing to all of us through Christ our Lord. Amen.